spread it upon, spread it for her upon the rock. From the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. My title today is this: Protecting What is Precious. Protecting What is Precious. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I'll give you a little background today for the story. Israel has been in famine for 3 long years, no rain. David the king is desperate. He goes to God and asks, Lord, why the drought? God says it's because of something that Saul did. It's hard to figure God out. And if you ever think you got him figured out, you're not even on first base. There's a lot more to know about him than we'll ever grasp with our very limited intellect and abilities. But Saul did something that God disapproved of. He slew a group of people called the Gibeonites. Now, the Gibeonites probably deserved it, but that's beside the point. You see, when Joshua came into the Canaan land, the Gibeonites were very wily and cunning, and they disguised themselves as wayfarers and poverty-stricken people, and Joshua had mercy on them and did not slay them, though God had commanded him to slay the inhabitants of the country. But he didn't do it. He spared their lives. And they made a covenant with Israel that they would not be slain. Now, they did that on the sly. They were deceptive. But you see, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Even if it was not made in their part, it was not honest, but God still keeps his promises. And God promised Gibeon that they would be preserved, they would be kept. And Saul broke that promise. And God was angry, so he withheld rain. So David goes to the Gibeonites and to find out what can be done to rectify the situation. And they told him, they said, oh, we don't want any money. We don't want any gold. We don't want any silver. We don't want any of Saul's stuff. He said, all we want are 7 sons from Saul's house. Well, it was a high price. But David took 5 sons that were raised by Michal, and he took 2 sons that were from Saul by this mother, Rizpah, delivered them in the hands of the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites killed them, hung their bodies up. And that was when this precious mother enters into the picture. She could not protect their lives at that point. She had nurtured them and loved them from the day of their birth. But there came a time she could not protect them. And mom, there is a time you let them go. There is a time you've done what you can do as far as your limited abilities to protect them. But I'm telling you today, you can still protect what is precious. So Rizpah did what she could. The Bible says that she took sackcloth. That's a sign and a symbol in the Bible of mourning. And she went out into that rugged wilderness, and she spread that sackcloth over a rock. And that became her bed. And that was where she slept. That's where she stood in the heat of the day. And that's where she slept in the chill of the night, on that sackcloth. And she slept, as it were, with her ears open. And if she heard a predator come in the night, if she heard some kind of a beast beginning to sneak up on those slain bodies of her boys, she would take that sackcloth and she would run toward that predator, screaming and hollering for all she was worth. And she would chase that predator out of the presence, because she was protecting something that was precious to her. In the daytime, no matter how sleepy, no matter how hot, no matter how weary, when the birds of prey would sweep down and try to pick on the bodies of those precious boys that were hanging there, she would take that sackcloth and she would wave that into the air like a crazy woman, and she'd drive away every predator, saying to those beasts of the air, of the field, and the birds of the air, "You can't have this. This is precious to me. This is mine. I'm going to protect it to my very death." That's a mama that understood some things are precious. We need mothers like that today. Can I preach to you just for a few minutes here today? There's a lot of predators in our world. And mama, I'm appealing to you to protect what's precious. I want you to know that Hollywood and entertainment's after your daughter, and they're after your son. They want to feed them a diet of filth. Amen. They want to affect their minds. They want to soil their souls. They want to depress their spirits. They come with their vile music. And they come with their sensual scenes. And they come with all of those things. And they want to pollute the very soul. I'm telling you today, there's something precious that you need to stand up. And you're going to say, "Hey, not in this house. I don't know what my neighbor's going to do. I don't know what so-and-so's going to do. But I tell you what I'm going to do. Hollywood, you can't have my babies. Music industry, you can't have my babies. Amen. You're not going to have what's precious in my house." Hey man, you grab that sackcloth and you get after that and you say, "Honey, I don't know what it's like down the street. I don't know what their mama's doing, but in this house, this is the way we're going to do things, because I'm going to protect something that's precious to me and I'm not going to let it go." Hey man, technology's after your babies. Hey man. Had a friend one time. He wanted to, they got those little watches. Or televisions. He said, "That wouldn't be a big sin, would it?" It just depends on what's on it. Hello? It's not the watch, it's what's on it. Amen. But there was a time we could protect a lot of things. But there's some things it's hard to protect now. You can't really protect them once they're out of the house, because their telephone can reach around the world and it can portray anything. How are you going to protect against something like that? I'm going to tell you how you do it. You get down on your knees somewhere. Amen. And you begin to call on their names. "God of heaven, I'm not there. I can't see my babies today, but you can send your angels to be with them. You know how to protect them. You know how to protect, watch over them. God, I put in their heart. I teach them in the morning. I teach them in the noontime. I teach them in the evening. I make sure they're in Sunday school. I make sure they're in service. I make sure they know how to pray. I make sure they know how to worship. I make sure they know how to live. Guard them, God." I'm talking about protecting what's precious. Hey, man, there's some predators out there. The fashion industry. I'm going to get a little plain here. They want to dress your daughters like harlots. Mama, you better get you some backbone. It doesn't matter what somebody else's kids look like. That's theirs. But you've got something precious in your house. You better get you enough backbone to stand up to the fashion industry and say, not my daughter. You can make yours look heavy you want them to, but these are my babies. I dedicated them to the Lord God, and they're going to represent Jesus Christ. They're not going to look like the world. They're not going to look like any, just any old thing. They're going to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to protect them. Mama, they want to turn your sons and the little effeminate replicas of some homosexual star somewhere. They want to take the strength out of their wrist. Amen. They want to make them look like some little old sissy thing. Amen. You better get you some backbone. And say, he can look how he wants to look, but you're not looking like that. Amen. God made you a man. And could I say, it's good that if they don't know what they are, tell them. Did you know California just passed a law that their restrooms now are gender free? You decide what you are when you need to go to the bathroom. That way we don't infringe on anybody's rights. Well, I got a news for you. Just check your plumbing and you'll know what you are. It's real plain. And parents, get enough backbone. If they start feeling like they're a girl and they're a boy, go give them a gun to carry. Oh, did I say that? Forgive me. Pardon me. That was a horrible thing. If they're a girl, get them a doll to play with. Teach them to play house. Teach them how to take care of babies. Yeah, man, that's old-fashioned. That's all right. I knew a group of people that didn't have a homeland for 1,800 years. But they maintained their distinct identity. You know why? Because they got a hold of some old stuff. And they said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And we will love Him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul and all of our strength." They got a hold of something precious and they protected it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, fashion wants to affect your children. Education. There's some predators in education. You against education? Oh, no. God's not glorified in ignorance by any means. You need to get education. Amen. Education's good. The Bible, didn't the Scripture say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? Amen. But you just be careful what kind of knowledge you're getting. You make sure that you're getting truth. Amen. You make sure that you're getting what's right. Amen. Praise God. Hey, there are people, they want to rewrite everything. I heard something as we got, thought was very interesting. You see, I grew up when all this started in the 60s, early 70s. You know what they were saying back then? This is what they told me when I was in school. You know what they told me? They said, question everything. One of our dignitaries was addressing a graduating class from university last week. And you know what he said to them? He said, don't question your government. Don't question authorities. They know what's right. This is the same bunch that began 30, 40 years ago were screaming, question everything. Now they're in control, they're in power. And they said, don't you challenge us. Could I say to you today, there's nothing wrong with questions. You can question and still be respectful. You can disagree and be agreeable. There's nothing wrong with questions. I invite questions. If I say something you don't agree with, you have every right to say, well, give me your point of view. You have the right to be wrong. Excuse me. Amen. No. Amen. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that education does have some predators. Amen. We are being taught, and that education wants to teach our children that God did not create the heavens and the earth. Education wants to teach my child that there was this some accident somewhere in the universe, and there was this cosmic explosion, and out of all that chaotic disorder came this wonderful sense of order. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in the Big Bang. God said, let there be, and bang it was. Yes. That's what the Big Bang is. Yes. Amen. I believe He created just like it said. I believe God created the heaven and the earth in 7 days. Now, honey, when you go to school, amen, and they teach you that stuff, amen, you let it stand here long enough to pass the test. Yes. It's just like when you go to English class and you're studying other fables. You know, those are not true either. So you treat science just like that. Now, there are some things that are proven and they're fact, and you can believe that. But you don't have to believe everything somebody says just because they have a degree. I'm not against degrees. I'm surrounded by them. My wife has two. My daughter has two, getting ready to get her third. I have one. That was good enough. They graduated summa laude, magna cum laude. I graduated. Thank you, Lordy. But education's a good thing. I'm not knocking education, but I'm saying there's some predators there. You need to pay attention to what your kids are learning. Amen. When they're learning good, you help them. When there's something false, you tell them, now this is not right. Because this is what the Bible says over here. And I'm going to take what the Bible says over what some teacher says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm hurrying along here. And you gotta teach your children that there's some predators in religion. I said, there's some predators in religion. We got to teach our children that it's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. It's not enough just to make a profession of faith. It's not enough just to put your name on somebody's roll somewhere. Amen. You gotta be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Amen. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Hey, I'm telling you today, that's something that's precious. And mama, you gotta protect that. Amen. Somebody tells your honey, it doesn't matter what you call God. Some people call Him Allah. Some people call Him Confucius. Some people call Him Buddha. It doesn't matter what you call Him. Oh, yes, it does. Amen. Jesus said it very plainly. Now, you may not like what I'm preaching, and that's okay. Amen. You have a right to your opinion. But Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, that is the Messiah. He said, you shall die in your sins. You can believe whatever you want to believe. You can believe in whatever God you want to believe in. But there is only one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved, and it's Jesus. I'm telling you, mama, you got to protect that. They're going to tell your child in school, that they can believe whatever religion they want to believe. They're all the same. Or they don't have to believe anything. Amen. Boy, I'm glad I had a mama that didn't believe that. Amen. Let me just tell you something here today. She didn't just tell me that. She showed me that. I could hear it in her prayers. I could see it in her worship. I watched it in her example as she lived it in front of me day by day by day by day. I watched her live it in the good times, and I watched her live it in the bad times. I watched her live it whenever she was crying, and I watched her live it when she was laughing. She lived it every day. And she convinced me that there is a real God. Let me get a little personal here. We didn't used to have to preach this way because our opposition wasn't quite as open as it is today. But I want to get a little plain here because we live in a plain world. You're going to have to protect your child's sexuality. Now, when I was growing up, you didn't have to do that. But you're going to have to do it today. Amen. I'm not talking about people's rights. What people have a right to do, that's one thing. But I'm talking about what is right. Nature itself teaches that two women can't have babies. And two men can't have babies. It takes a male and a female to produce a child. Amen. You teach your children. God did not create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. Male and female created he them. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and his father and cleave. Everybody say cleave. Everybody say leave. And the Bible said they were naked and had no shame. There's three words that'll make your relationship strong. Number one, you got to leave. You got to leave everybody else out of your marriage. You leave mama out of your marriage. You leave daddy out of your marriage. You leave everybody else out of your marriage. And you cleave one to another. You leave. And then you cleave. Whenever you have hard times, you don't run to mama. You run to hubby or you run to wifey. Hey, man, you get a hold of them, you hug them, you cry together, you work out your difficulties, you weather the storm together, and when you do that, you're welded together in strength, because that's something precious. You lead, you cleave, amen, and then you're open. Amen, you're open, you're transparent in your relationship. You don't hide and have secrets. Amen, praise the Lord. But it started back when I was a kid. They called it the sexual revolution. Started out just, they called it, well, I won't go into all that, but anyway. That was the day. Hey, that was the day. And that's when we really started having, I love something somebody said the other day. You know, abortion's a problem in America. It's a problem in America. We have murdered more than 50 million babies. That's more than the population of most countries. Problem in America. But somebody said, and they said it well, they said we would not have a problem with abortion if we had started and continued to preach against fornication. Most people don't even know what that word means. That means sexual relations before you're married. Oh, do we still believe that? Anybody still preach that? Well, if you had never heard it before, you heard it today. And we still preach that and believe that around here. We believe that you were born a virgin, you need to stay a virgin until you're married. And that goes for males as well as females. Some people think men are exempt. No, you're not. Same rule applies to you as applies to the girl. I'm talking about protecting some things that are precious. Your purity is something God gave you as a gift, and you need to give that one time to one person. I'm going to tell you, marriage is different than buying a car. People today say, well, how do I know? Unless I try it out. That's fine if you're buying a car, but you're marrying a wife or a husband. You don't try them out. When you buy a car, you know you're going to be trading it in a little while. But when you get married, you tell in front of a preacher and before God, you tell the whole world, this is forever or the rest of our life till death do us part. Is that not right? Is that not right? And if you're not ready to make that commitment, you're not ready to get married. If in the back of your mind somewhere, you're thinking, well, if it don't work out, we'll just quit and I'll go get another one. This is not a car. This is a human being. I'm trying to hurry here. I saw this illustrated beautifully a few years ago. A pastor told us, he said he did this for his children. He said, I want you to get a red piece of paper and a blue piece of paper. And he said, we're going to glue them together. So they got some glue and they put it all over the paper and they put them together. And they let the glue get good and dry. And they took it and they said, on this side, you see it's blue. This is daddy. And on this side, he said, it's red. He said, this is mama. He said, this is marriage. And then he said, take it apart. And they tried. But it was almost impossible. It had holes. It was ripped. And there was red on the blue and blue on the red. And he said, this is divorce. I'm talking about something precious here today. I'm talking about marriage. It's still precious. Amen. I'm talking about protecting precious things. You see, when that happens, and I know there's times it happens. I understand that. I live in a real world too. I understand that. But I'm just saying that when you leave, there's still some of her with him and some of him with her. And you never lose that. Amen. I'm talking about protecting what's precious today. Marriage is precious. Amen. And when I talk about marriage, let me define it for you. This was something that wasn't necessary a few years ago, but now we actually have to define what marriage is. Marriage is one man, but say man, married to one woman for one life. That's what marriage is. It's not two women married together. And it's not two men married together. Now, the United States of America may pass a law that that's a marriage. But God calls it an abomination. I don't hate anybody. Please understand me. Please understand me. And if I go to two men that are living together, I'll love them. If there's two women living together, I love them. I don't hate anybody. I'm not homophobic. I'm not out to get anybody. I love everybody. Amen. But I don't think that there's some kind of a homosexual gene. It's a choice. Amen. Just like drinking alcohol is a choice or taking drugs is a choice. Amen. You decide. And then you live with the consequences of your decision. Amen. I'm talking about protecting something precious here today. And we got to get like rispa, folks. We got to get that sackcloth. Amen. When something comes after our babies, we got to say, not in this house. Not in this house. Not in this house. Not in this house. Amen. My government might change. Schools may change. Churches may change. But not in this house. Not in this house. Not in this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I may get arrested for this, but it's all right. Worldliness wants your child. There are predators in the world. Amen. And you know one of the things that they're going to tell you? Oh, that's old fashioned. We don't do it like that anymore. Amen. Well, we do in our house. We still pray in our house. I think that old man, he went to the city. He's from the farm. He gets him and gets in the restaurant. He gets him a meal. Hot meal comes. He bows his head. He says, grace. Two young thugs don't know which direction to wear a hat. Looks at him and says, sir. Said, does everybody do that where you come from, old man? He said, no, sir. He said, the pigs don't. Amen. But you see, there's some things that are precious. There's some things that are precious. Amen. You teach your little children how to pray. It's okay. Amen. You just bow your heads and you just sing. Before mealtime, you teach them to pray. Before bedtime, you teach them to pray. Amen. When offering comes, you put some money in their hand. Used to be a penny. Everything's gone up now. Give them a dollar. Five's even better. Amen. But you understand what I'm saying. You're teaching. You're teaching. You're teaching. You're teaching. Amen. You're protecting what's precious in life. Amen. This is vital. That in the midst of a world that's contrary to the things of God, that we stand for what's true. Materialism. Materialism. Amen. I think materialism's a bad thing. Amen. Praise God. I've seen children throw a fit because they didn't get a clothes with a certain name on them. Amen. That's not good. That's not good. I'm not against quality. Amen. But a name don't mean a whole lot on clothes. I bought clothes, you know, that had a name on them. I get them home and it says made in China. So you know what? They paid for it. And if I'm wearing it, you kind of know what I paid for it, because I promise you I didn't pay full price. I'm just not a full price kind of guy. Amen. Some people brag about how much they paid for it. I brag about how much I got away with. How much I saved. Amen. You know what? You know where I got that? From my mama. She taught me that money's precious. And there's not a whole lot of it. She taught me back when I was a kid, tennis shoes were made out of canvas with rubber soles. And the king of tennis shoes was Converse All-Star, Chuck Taylors. Anybody remember Chuck Taylors? Anybody ever have any? There's one or two rich ones here. The ones I got at the grocery store cost 50 cents. Chuck Taylor's cost $6. My mama and daddy said, I wanted Chuck Taylor's. I said, well, you can have Chuck Taylor. Says you get you a job and you earn money and you go buy them. Yeah, man, I didn't want J.C. Penney jeans. I wanted Levi jeans. They said, that's fine. You can have all the Levi's you want. You go get a job and you go buy them. But as long as we're buying them, we're going to buy them from J.C. Penney's because they're cheaper there. They taught me something. They taught me the value of a dollar. Hey, man, when it's time to get a car, they said, well, yeah, you can have a car. You go get your job and buy one. And by the way, you got to pay insurance every month. And you got to put gas in that thing. And you got to change the oil every few thousand miles. And you got to buy tires when they wear out. They taught me some precious things. They didn't give me one. I bought one. Amen. I'm just preaching today some things that are precious. Some things that are precious. I'm going to close. I'm sorry. I know I've held you longer than normal here, but we had a lot to do today. Rizpah couldn't bring her sons back. But she protected them and did. The Bible said she stayed there from April, which is the time of the harvest. And she stayed there all the way until it finally rained. which signified the blessing of God on Israel again. She said, I'm going to be here throughout all this drought. Not only that, but you know what? She never said a word. She didn't tell anybody. She didn't cry and whine. She didn't go telling people her troubles. She just protected her kids the best she could. And the Bible says, and David the king heard about it. She didn't tell him, but he heard about her sacrifice. The word went out, and it reached all the way to the king. And when David heard it, he sent some soldiers, and he collected the bones of those boys. And he got Saul and Jonathan from the battlefield, and he brought them all home. And he gave them an honorable burial. Amen. Finally got the attention of the king. And when her sons were honored, that was enough. And Rispus, in her heart, knew she had done all that she could do. She put in the hands of the king, and he took care of it all. My mind can't help but wonder, where was Michal? She was a mother. She had five boys. But Rispa fought the battle all alone. Amen. You see, it doesn't matter if anybody else is going to fight the battle. You can take up the battle yourself. It doesn't matter what your brother or your sister does. It matters what you do. It doesn't matter even what your ancestors did. It matters what you do. Amen. I'm talking about protecting what is precious. You've been given something precious today. Now, how do you protect what's precious? Number one, you do it by example. By example. Every one of us knows that, don't we? Shake your head like this right here. Amen. We know that. The best way to teach something is by example. It doesn't help to tell somebody if you're not doing it yourself. Hello. Isn't that right? Amen. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. I'll never forget the first youth camp I went to. There was a gentleman that was portly, rather like myself, in these days. And he was laying there, and it was the alarm went off in the morning. He laid there in his bed, and he said, "You boys, get up now!" And he laid there. He taught us by word, not by example. Amen. When I was a dean, I learned that you don't just tell them, you get up. And you show them. Amen. You get up, you become an example. You show people. You show your children how to pray. You show your children how to live. You show your children how to worship. And if it's not worth the example, then it's not worth sharing with them. If it doesn't mean that much to you, then how in the world are you ever going to get the point across to them? They're not going to believe your sincerity if you just tell them one thing and live another. Let's stand together. I'm talking about protecting what is precious. Anybody believe a little of this today? You don't have to believe everything. Amen. I know we got some differences going on here, but I'm just telling you, there's some things that are precious that we got to protect. We need to get the spirit of Rispa today. Oh, what a precious woman. What a great example of a mother that protected things. Even to the end, and after death, she still protected until the king came and took over and put everything in his hands. If you can just protect them until the king comes, you're all right. When the Lord comes, it's okay to release and say, "Okay, Lord, I've done all I can do. They're in your hands now. But as long as there's breath in my body, amen, I'm going to do everything I can to protect what is precious." Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Could we pray together right now, and let's offer a very special prayer for all of our precious moms that are here today. Jesus, thank you forever, precious lady. Whether they're a mom in a physical sense or in a spiritual sense. Many have physical children, some have spiritual children. But I ask you today, God, to be very generous and very gracious to each of these very special and precious ladies today. I ask you to put down deep in their hearts conviction from your word. Conviction from your word. Give them, oh God, a deep desire to please you, to be an example to their children, to protect what's precious. You said, buy the truth and sell it not. So God, help us today to lay hold on precious things, and let's protect them with everything that's in us. Give us courage and faith and strength. God, thank you today for hearing us. Thank you for helping us. Let your power, your anointing, and your blessing abide in each heart and each mom. We love them. We thank you for them. They are one of your most precious gifts to us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope I've not been offensive to anybody. I just wanted to remind us of some precious things. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise.